listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network.
Today's episode of Final Girls Horrorcast is brought to you by Al White, Watch for Zombies, and Mondo. To become a part of our amazing Patreon crew, please visit us on patreon.com/Final Girls Horrorcast.
Hey there, lovelies, and thanks for joining us on the 282nd episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
This week, we're continuing with 80s Were Weird Month, the, I think it's the 7th annual or 6th annual.
Sixth.
One of the two.
Annual, I
it's
think.
Sixth.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's 6th. I'm very much prepared for saying that. And we're discussing Butcher, Baker, Nightmare Maker, everyone's cult favorite.
Yeah. We do tend to spoil movies, so continue at your own risk. Butcher, Baker, Nightmare Maker is streaming on Shudder, AMC Plus, and DirecTV, so check it out before continuing if you are particularly spoiler sensitive.
Yeah.
Really? No. Yeah. I think
it's fine.
This isn't a huge spoiler. You kind of know what you're getting, I feel like, when you walk into it for the most part. And maybe we'd be able to warn you about a few things. So
sure.
You know.
And do you have warnings you'd like to give the people at home about this movie?
Warnings? No.
Maybe we'll kind of warnings
prep you a little bit.
I'm really excited to hear about these warnings.
They're not warnings. Just prepare.
Sure. But before we jump into today's film, let's get started with a segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Malum, with a March 23rd release date. It's written and directed by Anthony DeBlasi, who we've previously discussed his films Last Shift and Midnight Meat Train. It's written by it's also written by Scott Poiley, who also wrote Last Shift. The IMDb summary is: a rookie police officer willingly takes the last shift at a newly decommissioned police station in an attempt to uncover the mysterious connection between her father's death and a vicious cult. A rookie police officer, I think it just repeats by accident, so I'm going to delete that. I was going to just say it all again, Ron Burgundy it. But I don't think we need to. If that summary sounds familiar, it's because it is the same exact summary, I would think, as The Last Shift, or just Last Shift. I don't know why I put the in it. Been hanging out with my mom too much, calling it the Facebook and The Last Shift.
Maybe that's why it was on there twice, because it's the same thing as the other one. Anyway, this looks fun.
It looks awesome. I don't really care that we're like redoing the last shift. I see I'm doing that again. That we're redoing Last Shift here. And it's a little weird that we're calling it something different, but I also appreciate that because then you can differentiate between the two films.
Exactly. You're not having a the invitation thing. And
or
it's the
scream,
same movie,
scream,
so.
scream.
All the screaming.
That last scream was just called Scream. It's so confusing. How am I supposed to talk about this shit? So I'm just really interested in it. I love Last Shift. We both enjoy that film, I believe. It's one of the first films I think we discussed on the podcast.
Yeah, so it's been years.
It's been years and years and years. But it's a great film. And it looks like this is just a more fleshed out story, which I'm here for. Some good looking scares in the trailer without showing too much. And the creature design in Last Shift was, I remember it being very creepy and good. So I'm excited. I'm all for it.
Me too. I can't wait.
Let's do it.
I'll definitely be checking it out.
Absolutely. March 23rd, coming to a theater near you?
Sure.
I'm not sure. We're not sure.
All right. Are you ready?
I am so ready to talk about this movie.
Same.
Okay.
So the movie we will be discussing today is 1981's Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker, directed by William Asher, who has also done episodes of I Love Lucy, Bewitched, Twilight Zone, and Dukes of Hazzard. Written by Steve Bremer, Alan J. Gluckman, who also did an episode of Swamp Thing and Xena Warrior Princess, and Boom Collins, who wrote Escape to Grizzly Mountain and Sleepover Nightmare. The IMDb summary is: an orphaned teenager finds himself being dominated by his aunt, who's hell-bent on keeping him with her at all costs.
This movie is wild.
It's so wild. And it's so funny that the director has mostly done TV, because it felt very episodic.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
I knew I was...
Very, very on brand, too. I Love Lucy and Bewitched. Yeah.
Exactly.
Super on brand.
I will say, though, that first scene, Dukes of Hazzard, really makes a lot of sense.
It's true. Tony watched that. He was just, like, walking by, and he's like, this is a really great, like, card thing that they did. He didn't say it that way. He said it a little bit more eloquently than I just did. I am a little loopy, so don't mind me today.
It's been a year, let's be honest.
It's been a good 5 years, actually.
It's fair.
We say it almost every episode.
We do.
So I have a lot of questions about this movie.
This movie stressed me out. I started watching it last night and I was like, I am not, this is not, like, 16 minutes in, there's a murder. Well, there's a couple murders, but there's, like, the one murder that I was just like, this is not a movie I'm going to finish right now. This is a tomorrow movie. There's just so much going on at all times.
This is future Carly's problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. It was a wild ride. I'll say that much.
I mean, it was entertaining throughout. It wasn't, like, dragging too much. There was a few moments where I'm like, all right, let's move it. But whoever, I mean, let's see. One, two, three people wrote this film. And it feels like maybe 10 people wrote it, though.
Yeah, well,
it is all over the place. It is so chaotic.
It's chaotic. Like... It makes sense, though, because Steve Bremer has never written anything else except for this. And then this was Alan J. Gluckman's first. And I think Boom Collins had only done one prior. So
also, his name is Boom.
Yeah.
It's a great name. It's a great name, but,
Boom,
you know.
Boom Collins.
I don't know if that gives him any... writing credentials. I don't know what I'm saying, Carly.
Things are just
coming out of my mouth and none of them make any sense. And that's okay. We're just going to keep going.
I'm on board. So take us on this journey.
Well, and you're editing this episode, so I know you're not going to edit out any of the weird and embarrassing things I say this episode. So
nope. It's all great. It's all going in. You're
Luckily,
welcome.
No one listens to this. Okay. So... we have Aunt Cheryl.
Yikes.
Who is baddie off the bat. Jesus. this is a problem. She's crazy off the bat, right? She's not right. She's talking to herself day one, you know, of the movie. But progressively becomes a gremlin for some reason.
Yeah, like her whole demeanor changes after.
By the end of the movie, she's full-blown gremlin. She just turned into an actual gremlin.
It's wild, the transformation. That she does but a great job.
She's not supposed to be a gremlin, but she is a gremlin.
She's 100%. That hair gets nuts.
Yeah, like this is not science fiction. Like, she's not supposed to turn into an actual gremlin, but for some reason she does. She's, like, hunched over and, like... The way she's running in the woods is so weird. Like, did she get hurt at some point and I missed it? Like, why does she have a hunchback and she's limping around?
Yeah, it all changes. It's completely wild.
She's like a normal looking woman at the beginning, and then she just turns. I have no idea. It's so weird. It goes in so many directions. There's way too many characters that have nothing to do with the story or move the story along at all. Like, this cop is...
Oh, infuriating.
This whole cop storyline is bonkers.
Really, nothing about this movie makes sense. There's lots of ins and outs. There's, like, a weird, like, homosexual storyline that's strange. There's the aunt's lover that broke up with her and then she murdered him storyline, which is weird. And then there's the parents' death. There's, like, there's 18 different things going on at once. And it's an adventure, to say the least.
Well, I mean, there's other films that do similar things, but better. Like, think Stepfather, right? Where it's supposed to be like, who is this person, right?
Yeah.
Who is this adult that's in my life and taking care of me? And what is their history? And why don't we know anything about this person? Like, it doesn't go that route. It, like, starts to go that route, and then it overcomplicates with all these other things. Like, Aunt Cheryl is so cuckoo bananas that it's, like, completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it just really, it does not work as a serious film, but I think it was really trying to be a serious film.
That's what it seems like. Yeah, it just gets too much because she is, I mean, not normal ever, but we go from her being very possessive of her nephew to then her wanting to poison him, and then all of a sudden, like, talking to her dead lover in the basement and conspiring with her dead lover. It's so weird that it gets too crazy, I feel like.
It gets too crazy. And I think that she, at the beginning, you're led to believe that she's in love with him.
Yeah.
That she's in love with her nephew, and that's why she's so possessive of him. She's never had a boyfriend, never gotten married, you know, never had a real relationship with a man, so she says. And it's really all about her nephew, and she's doing all these things to keep him from going away to college, which are crazy. And it reminds me of that show, Mom. Have you ever watched that show, Mama's Boy? It's like a reality show.
Oh, no.
There's this reality show called Mama's Boy, and it's about men who have weird relationships with their mother, and the men are, like, trying to have, get married and have relationships with real women. And, like, it's really uncomfortable, like, very much like the beginning of this movie.
Yeah,
like,
that holding sounds hands uncomfortable.
And doing things together, and the mom's always around. So it's very much like that. And I was like, oh, it's like Mama's Boy vibes. It's Mama's Boy on steroids. But then it turns into she's not in love with him. Like, it's just weird. They should have just stuck with that side plot.
I feel like I couldn't keep up because then there's, like, this part towards the end where she's like, I'm your mother. And I was like, wait, what?
So dumb.
Like,
if she was his mother, why wouldn't she just tell him from the beginning?
Yeah.
Because he was a baby when she got him.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason you had to go through this whole charade of being his aunt. Obviously, if you're his mother, your name's going to be on, like, the birth certificate. Right.
Right.
Like, she went through this whole thing, let her sister adopt her own kid, and she made it sound like it was a legit adoption,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then, her sister dies and she gets the kid back, which, okay, well, why wouldn't you just raise him like you're his mom? Like, there's no reason that she needs to hide it. Like, that's the weird thing. Like, it's like this big twist, like, oh my God, she's my mother.
That's what I was like, is that real or is she just delusional? Like, I
think it's real.
Yeah.
I think it's real, but it's so weird. Like, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for that side plot. It just overcomplicates it. Just be his mom the whole time.
One of the many things that just doesn't make sense.
Or don't. With the, both of those side plots are fine. Be his mom the whole time or be his aunt the whole time. There's it doesn't change the story at all. It literally changes nothing either way.
Not so it's one weird bit.
To switch it halfway through. Oh, just kidding. I'm not your aunt. I'm your mom.
Also, another thing that was weird is this whole like angry cop thing. Like, it doesn't make sense that he would have this weird vendetta when other members of his department are like, hey, this is weird. But he for some reason like wants to pin it on Billy for some reason. And the anger that's like, it's 0 to 100 and it doesn't make any sense.
He is so awful. But there's no yeah, you're right. There's absolutely no reason for it. It doesn't push the story forward at all. It just like, I mean, it kind of pushes the story forward, but there's no reason he needs to be so mean and aggressive.
But it doesn't really.
He's like a secondary villain. Like, we don't need a second. We already have a villain. We don't need two of them.
Yeah. It makes no sense. And it doesn't really push the story forward. The thing that pushes the story forward is the other cop that's actually trying to solve the problem. You know, like, he's trying to solve the murder. He's trying to put the pieces together. Like, it really just, it slows things down. And it not that the pacing is particularly fantastic, but it throws the pacing off even more.
So here's why there's cops involved. So Aunt Cheryl doesn't want her nephew to go away to college. He's a big basketball star and he's getting accepted to colleges away from home. And so her big plan is to have someone try to rape her so that he can protect her. And he won't want to leave her alone because he needs to protect her, which is wild. But OK, fine. She's
fucking crazy.
She's wacko. She's wacko. So let's just pretend that that's a good idea. Let's pretend that that's a real plan. She has the TV repairman come over and then throws herself at him.
And he's like, no, thank you, ma'am. No, thank you.
He's like, legit, I'm not into this. And then she stabs him. In front of like her kids or her kids coming home. And she just says, oh, he was trying to rape me. That's why I stabbed him. And then we find out that that guy is in a relationship with the coach. And I feel like the coach is supposed to be a bigger character than he is. Like the way he shows up at the end and things, it's very weird. Like
so weird. I was like, wait, why is he calling the coach that quit and like left town? And why is the coach coming back into town?
Right.
Like, why isn't he calling the cops?
So the cop is so aggressive when he comes to question Cheryl. And I mean, in some ways, I understand his aggression at that point because she's obviously a shitty human that has problems. And she's obviously lying. Right?
Yes.
So I think he's trying to figure out why she's lying. She's just not a good liar in general. And so, but then he becomes this like really homophobic, awful human where he's like, oh, the guy couldn't have been raping you because he has a relationship with this other man because sexuality is black and white, apparently, and not a spectrum at all. And also rape has to do with lust. Sure. Okay. It's like the 80s got everything wrong about all this stuff.
I was like, yikes. Okay, yikes.
So uncomfortable. Like everything he was saying was like, oh, that's really outdated. Oh, that's real. No, because even a homophobic jerk today would not say any of these things. They would say other terrible things, but they wouldn't say these terrible things.
It was wild.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable. And so anyway, that whole thing, it was just over the top and weird and unnecessary. And I don't know why we spent so much time talking about these gay men. Like, I just don't know what it has to do with the story at all. It's so distracting from the actual story and the actual horror. It's like they had two different movie ideas and they could only make one. So they're like, let's push two movies into one movie.
Yeah. that's kind of where those multiple writers probably came in.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it was super weird. Randomly, but this kind of goes back to kind of a lot of cooks being in the kitchen, no pun intended, because of the baker title. But my favorite piece of trivia about this movie is that Jan de Bont was like on set. I don't know if he was like supposed to direct it, but he basically was like on set and did the he was the cinematographer, but he shot the decapitation scene, which is like fucking amazing at the beginning. And it made me so happy to like learn that little piece of information. If you're not really familiar, Jan de Bont did like Speed and Twister. And so he had a little stint on this film as well, in the decapitation scene, which is amazing.
So random. It's super random.
And Bill Paxton is in it too, so that's neat.
Is he in it?
Yeah, he's like one of the so he actually auditioned for Billy, but he was, I forget his character's name. I wanna say it's Eddie.
He's like, the mean basketball player.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh. So this is. Yeah, there's just a lot. I mean, Aunt Cheryl is really good at poisoning Billy. And just, it just doesn't make sense. Like, just pick a thing.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's skipping around too much. She loves him. She, never mind, she wants to kidnap him or imprison him. Then she kind of, does she want to kill him? I don't know. She wants to kill like almost everybody, it seems like, by the end when she turns into a gremlin and is like hobbling around the woods with a machete. Where did she get a machete, by the way? Why would there be a machete at that house?
She's always prepared. That lady is, I guess.
It's called butcher, baker, knife. Just get a knife. Just use a knife. Why is there a machete involved in this?
Because it's, we just got to get everything in there. I'm surprised there's not a chainsaw.
Why is it called this? Why is this the name of it?
I don't know. Originally it was called Mother's Dead, which I like better. And then after it was later after it was released, it was released as Night Warning by the distributors.
That's also weird.
It is also really weird. I feel like Mother's Dead is the only.
But it still doesn't work. It still doesn't make sense.
I mean, kind of, because it's like that's what he says at the end.
Oh, okay. I guess.
It's the one that makes the most sense.
So let's talk about the end. I know to just hop to the end is not okay, but we have to.
In this case, it's fine.
So she's going around. She's killing everyone, or at least attempting to kill everyone. And Billy ends up stabbing her, right? And she's not dead, but she pretty much is. And he picks up the phone. Okay. Who are you calling in this scenario?
I'm calling the police. He is calling the coach.
Yeah. He is calling a coach.
That got fired and doesn't live here anymore.
His basketball coach. Why is he calling the basketball coach? Like, I don't understand why he's... That's his first call. I killed my mother. I need you to know that I killed my mother. By the way, the coach is like, you don't have a mother. Your mother died a long time ago. Because nobody knows this weird side plot but you.
Oy. It makes no sense. And then, guess what makes even less sense?
And then the coach comes to help him. And then the cop is like, oh, here's the gay man. Got to kill the gay man.
Yeah. And then the other cop is like, hey, this girl's literally telling us that the mom tried to kill everybody. And he's like, get her out of here. And he's like, but she says, should I check the basement? No, I want to. I don't
murder
know. I want to murder
this gay man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? What's happening? What's going on?
And then Billy shoots the cop.
Yeah.
That's the end of the movie.
And then everybody's okay with it. Wait, and then there's like right before the end credits roll, there's like Billy was tried for the murder of the cop and acquitted due to reason of temporary insanity. And then it's like him and his girlfriend went to college together. The end. I was like, wait, what just happened?
Having that as the ending is hilarious.
I laughed so hard.
Temporary insanity. Does that mean he's crazy? Did he inherit his mother's craziness?
He was temporarily insane when he killed the cop.
Insanity.
Yeah.
Insanity'd.
Guys, you gotta see it to believe it.
I don't know. It's fine. There is also an insane amount of religious paraphernalia in this house, but like no one's religious. At least no one ever talks about religion.
Yeah.
So that's really weird.
Yes.
I mean, if it's a plot point, sure. Otherwise, why are we decorating the house this way? It doesn't have anything to do with anything.
No, it doesn't.
She doesn't say one religious thing the whole time.
No, and she really doesn't.
That one portrait of Jesus that they show a bunch is really creepy, by the way.
Yes, it is. Like,
that's the creepiest Jesus portrait I've ever seen in my
life. They're like, the set dressers are like, put it on the walls.
Yeah.
It's going. Cheryl would have it.
I was like, I might, like, I'm not a religious person, but I might put that on my wall because it's creepy.
I wouldn't go into the room that it was in. I'd be like, that's Jesus's room now.
Put it in my guest room and let people sleep in the room with it.
I'd be like a cabin in the woods style and just like hang something over it. Thank you.
I'd put like a spotlight on it. Make it extra good. Oh my gosh. It's just too much. It's chaotic. The only way I can describe this movie is chaotic. It doesn't follow any kind of rhyme or reason.
It was an excellent 80s were weird movie.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. And I think this did well. Excuse me if I'm wrong.
It was nominated for a Saturn Award for the best horror movie of 1982 by the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror. Fun fact.
There's no way that's true.
I call bullshit.
There's so many good movies. I don't even know that there were so many good movies that came out in 1982, but I'm pretty sure that there was enough that this shouldn't have even been nominated.
Oh, man. So funny.
I also love this neighbor woman, Margie.
Oh, Margie. She deserved better.
Margie had like a sixth sense for knowing when Cheryl was getting murdery. Like anytime Cheryl's about to kill someone in her kitchen, like overcomes Margie.
My favorite Margie moment was when the son comes home and he's like, your hair. And she just quickly turns around and is like, isn't it great? It's the new fashion or something like that.
she's very supportive.
He was like, don't set her off, Billy. Your mom looks great.
Your mom aunt.
Your mom aunt looks great.
Remember when this is my Chris Farley interview impression. Do you remember that segment? Oh, my God. I'm so old. Of SNL when he used to interview people and be like, remember the part in the movie?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, my God. It's really completely not related to this at all, but I just thought of it when I said, remember the part. Well, I'll send you a clip later.
Thank you.
It's completely unrelated to the podcast, and I'm not going to keep talking about it. There's a part in the movie where Cheryl is chasing Julie by the water. I don't even know where this water is. And she does legit WWE style wrestling moves on Julie. She like leaps on her. She's got her in like a headlock. Like there's, it's like.
She takes her down.
It's like pro style wrestling. Yeah, this is not like a cat fight. These aren't two women who've never fought before. This is professional wrestling moves.
Yeah, that's what underwater. She acquired when she became a gremlin.
It's one of her talents.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This movie is insane. I don't know what else to say about it.
There's nothing else to say. It's a wild ride. If you have Shudder, I really recommend checking it out because it's fucking strange.
It's really strange. But yeah, watch it with a group of people. Enjoy. Butcher, Baker, Nightmare Maker. There you go.
Ugh. So what are you up to?
You know, I have been busy watching things.
What have you been watching?
I saw Cocaine Bear.
What did you think?
I think exactly what I was going. My initial impression of the film was 100% accurate.
Were you entertained?
For moments. Okay. There was one scene in particular I very much liked.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending made me cringe in like a not good way, you know? Mm-hmm. Not like in a horror movie way, but more like in a, ooh, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah.
kind of way. To the point where Tony saw me do that and then laughed really hard. He's like, oh, she doesn't like this. It's exactly what I expected it to be. And okay. To expect it to be anything different would have been a shame.
Sure.
But I was correct in my initial impression that a lot of people will probably like this and I will not be one of them.
There you go. Yeah. I'm curious. I'll probably see it in theaters if it's still there the week after next.
Yeah. You know, you there's going to be a part at the end that you're not going to like.
I figured.
Yeah. Because there's a big bear, and that's all well and good. Because the big bear can take care of themselves. But there might be some smaller animals at the end.
No. Okay, maybe I won't see it in theaters.
Spoiler alert, they're okay. But something's going to happen, and you're going to be really upset about it. So I'm just warning you.
Okay, well, now I'm curious. We'll talk.
Okay. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't. It's not a movie that. It's not the kind of thing I like. There were small children in the theater, which was troubling because it is very gory. So, you know, if you know, maybe rethink bringing the little ones with you to see a movie called Cocaine Bear. What do you think?
I was going to say, I would love to know what's going on in the parents' heads.
Maybe people didn't realize it was going to be as gory as it was, which is, I think, fair. If they didn't see the Red Band trailer, they might not realize it's super gory. But it's still a movie about a bear that does cocaine, so maybe not good for children.
Well, yeah, like, how old are we talking?
I heard, like, a little voice, like, oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Like that. So okay. I'm thinking like 4-6 tops. God. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was not okay.
Yeah. That's
there was definitely older kids there too, and I was like, that's iffy. You know, like a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old is still a little iffy. But like little tiny squeaky voice. And I was like, ah.
That was an irresponsible eyes, parent moment.
Absolutely. I leaned over to Tony. I was like, is that a baby talking in the back? He's like, yeah.
Yeesh.
It was also funny because there was quite a few people in the theater, considering it's in one of the smaller theaters. The woman behind us was basically saying things mm-hmm. throughout the whole movie. And during the trailers, like, she's just talking a lot. And he's like, do you want to move? And I was like, normally, yes, I would. But this is, the movie's called Cocaine Bear, so I think I'm okay. So, there you go. The first movie I've gone to in a long time, Cocaine Bear.
I love that for you.
I let Tony pick it.
Well, that was nice.
He loved it. Good. He loved it. He had a great time.
Good. So. What else have you been watching?
I finished White Lotus yesterday, the second season.
Yes, I loved that.
And, you know, White Lotus is just one of those things where, like, the first half of the season, I'm like, okay, hurry it up. And then the last two episodes, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's usually the last episode delivers.
It's just so much setup.
Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
A lot.
Five episodes of setup and then the payoff.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. But it was good. It was good. I think that's all I got for right now. How are you? You've been doing stuff. You've been doing way more exciting things than me.
Yeah, I've been on the move. I've been okay, so the Oscars is this coming Sunday. And yeah. So I always try to watch as much as I can. I've been doing very well. So far this week, I know it wasn't nominated for anything, but I watched The Woman King and I enjoyed it. And then I watched Tar, which I liked. But I don't necessarily think like Oscar, like, you know, there's movies sure. I liked better this year or last year.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the new BEV and saw No Country for Old Men.
Which I've seen movie. Before,
but yeah, it was really, I love seeing movies like that on the big screen. It's
I remember seeing that in the theater when it came out.
Yeah. It's just, it's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. The performances are just like so chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, which was Saturday, I went to, they had this thing in Santa Monica. It's like a Scream pop-up. To obviously like hype up the new movie. And so that was fun. It's like you walk into the experience. It's like a 15-minute immersive kind of thing. And you walk in and you're like in a convenience store bodega, like in New York City. And it was cool. Mm-hmm. And then you walk into this like hallway and I'm not going to lie. It gave me Saw vibes. Like I felt like Jigsaw was talking to me while I was in this like little room.
Oh, okay.
And so that kind of makes me curious. But I also think, okay, maybe they're just using that as like, oh, like, I don't know. He was saying things that Ghostface would say. And then you walk into a room and there's all this like memorabilia from all of the movies. Like we had Billy's costume. We had Billy's bloody white shirt. Just like a lot of stuff like that. One of my favorite pieces is the like set piece from Scream 2 that, oh my gosh, what's the, who's the boyfriend? The boyfriend was like posted up on at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so cool. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite thing that was there, I think. But yeah, it was just cool. And it was like, it was just a fun little thing to do, in Santa Monica. So if you are in the LA area, I definitely think it's worth checking out. It's free. So just, you know, swing by.
There you go.
And then last free screen night, things. I saw Babylon. No. And I really liked that movie a lot.
Okay.
And that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then today I watched Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker.
Same. Me too. What'd you think?
10 out of 10.
I also watched Triangle of Sadness.
Oh, which, I really liked that movie.
Which felt kind of similar to White Lotus in a lot of ways.
I can see that.
Thematically, yeah. It's similar. And like writing-wise, it kind of reminded me of it too.
Same vibe.
Very similar vibes.
Yeah.
So if you like White Lotus, you'll probably like Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can. I mean, I very much enjoyed a lot of it.
It's weird.
It is weird. And a little long. I don't really know that we needed all of that.
I agree with you. I think it's a little long.
I think the whole first part of the movie isn't like even necessary. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I don't know why we needed that.
I really liked it. I liked the first part.
I don't dislike it. I just, it adds a little bit to the movie. It just doesn't add as much as long as it is. Does that make sense?
I get you. Yeah.
Cut it down a little bit. Anyway.
Amy's like, let's get this going.
I got somewhere to be.
Yeah. Are we done?
Gotta watch Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. So sorry for my craziness today. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm just a mess.
I loved it. So thank you.
Great. Glad you did. What are we watching next week, Miss Carly?
Next week, we are watching Blood Rage, which you can find.
Like how you said that.
Yeah. Thank you. I wanted to make it epic.
You did. You succeeded.
Huzzah. It is streaming on Tubi TV and Arrow, so make sure to check that out and then come back.
Do we know what Arrow is?
It's a streaming service. It's a subscription service.
Got it.
So if you have it, you know about it.
You're one of five people.
I think it's like for cult cinema.
Yeah, yeah. No, because like Arrow Films, right?
Yeah, yes.
It's like a distributor, isn't it?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And okay. I know if you really are just, you don't want to watch it with commercials, I know they have like a free trial that you can get in on. So
there you go.
There you go.
I'm kind of excited to watch Blood Rage.
I am so excited. The poster's fantastic. It's very 80s horror.
I think it's going to be great. Yeah. I am very excited about it. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Join us next week when we discuss Blood Rage. Woo-hoo. Until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye.